my colleague, Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator at Sagamore Institute, the author of To Provide and Maintain a Navy, Why Naval Primacy is America's First Best Strategy. We've been speaking of the limits of the shipbuilding yards in the territory of the United States. We've mentioned Congress. At the same time, conversations taking place over these last months bring in an alliance, a chock-a-block alliance in East Asia and the Indo-Pacific. The Philippines and Japan walking in with Mr. Biden at the White House talking about defense of the Philippines and Taiwan in the event that China presses its advantage sometime in these next years. South Korea was walking with Japan at Camp David last year, last summer, as I recall. There are conversations with Australia and New Zealand ongoing. India is not outside of this. There are other states to mention, but I come to this, Jerry. I understand, I've not been there, I just read, that South Korea has a terrific shipbuilding service. Japan has a terrific shipbuilding service. India has a terrific shipbuilding service. I'm sure there are more in Europe. What is the restriction, limitation thinking about building what the fleet needs overseas?
Well, John, there's been a law in place, which is a Buy America law, which is to say that anything that we build for the United States Navy has to be built here in the United States by American workers. This law has been around for the better part of three decades. But right now, there has been a subtle change in the conversation here in the United States, led by the current administration, but also gaining some adherence from the Republican side of the aisle, because I think everyone recognizes, as I said previously, that, you know, the Congress is adding additional money and resources to the budget, and we're finding that industry is not able to step up. We're pressing on the gas, but the engine isn't going any faster. And so we are nearly desperate right now to build new ships for the United States Navy, everything from logistical support ships to surface combatants like our Burke-class destroyers to submarines. And so we are now having serious conversations about having at least some of these ships built for us by some overseas suppliers, or at least getting major components from them in a manner which we have not entertained in recent decades. So the Secretary of the Navy made a circuit visit of the Western Pacific a couple, two, 3 weeks ago. He was in Japan and visited some of the shipbuilding yards there. He went to South Korea and he visited some of the yards there. And John, we're talking about Mitsubishi and Hyundai Heavy Industries, you know, two of the largest shipbuilders in the world. And recently, some of those executives have come here to the United States to continue those conversations. And what we're at now, John, the point in the conversation is sort of a balancing act. We, the United States, want them to come here and invest in some of the shipyards that we have here, potentially buying one of them or partnering with them, helping to modernize them to bring up the most modern technologies and practices in shipbuilding, things that we have not invested in seriously over the last 3 to 4 decades. We're hoping that they come here and do that. They hope that we will order at least some parts, components, if not whole ships from their shipyards. They see that as the most economical way because they can build ships for pennies on the dollar of what we can here because of their advanced practices as well as their labor costs. And so I think that there's a very subtle negotiation going on right now where we're hoping that they invest here for the long haul. They're hoping that we buy from them direct. And by the way, that conversation's also going on in Europe right now with some of the major European shipbuilders are saying, hey, if you're having that serious conversation with Asia, we want you to have this serious conversation with us. John, this is not unlike historically where the U.S. Navy was in the late 1880s when we were making the shift from being all wooden hulled at that point in time to beginning to create our initial steel hulled Navy. Because many of those major first components of what we call the squadron of experimentation actually came from European shipyards, as we recognized we didn't have the capability or capacity here at the time. So I think we're seeing something really interesting going on. And John, because you and I have talked about this repeatedly in the past, and I've kind of poo-pooed the conversation. I can tell you now the conversation is real and it is serious.
All right. What is the threat? Let us establish that and not assume it. The threat is that the Chinese have the largest aggregate fleet, I believe that's what you write, in the world. And though their Arleigh Burke equivalent is not up to our Burke equivalent, they've got lots of them. And you say that if they get damaged, they can just rotate back home because they're fighting on their home court. The submersibles and the uncrewed submersibles are an answer. And I hear that from Pillar 2, but what I don't, Pillar 2 for AUKUS, what I don't hear is all this coming together in a timeline that is realistic given the level of threat. Have we got the time, Jerry? We have a couple of minutes to talk about it.
So I don't think that we do, John, and this is the thing that really bothers me. I think we're finally getting our minds around the problem and we're happening upon the solution. It's been the same solution that you and I have spoken about for these many years that we've been having these conversations. But the problem is the threat is proximate and real. And I say that because, you know, we've just seen this past weekend with the massive Iranian attack upon Israel. We were able to, you know, praise God, repel it with no deaths and one serious injury. And we pray that that little girl is able to recover. That being said, we see the administration essentially giving advice to Israel, you know, which is call it a win and let try to de-escalate. And I think that this type of response is inviting attention from Xi Jinping, who's kind of looking, well, if that's the way the Americans are going to act against this flagrant act of aggression on the part of Iran, then perhaps now is the time. So I think that the threat is proximate and real to Taiwan and our interests in the Western Pacific. We need a Navy now, a much larger Navy now. We understand what the solution set is. But unfortunately, we are not in a position to get there immediately. It's going to take, you know, it's taken 30 years to get in the position we are industrially in the United States. It's going to take us at least a decade to get back up on step in industrial capacity and production here when it comes to ships and shipbuilding. And that kind of terrifies me.
And the alliances that we're putting together, even though if we don't have the ships, we have unsinkable aircraft carrier called Japan.
Japan is, Guam is, Guam won't tip over, despite one congressman's statement.
Right.
It will be important to us in that alliance. That is the most important thing. You cannot replace geography. And our allies in the Philippines and Japan, that is the key and crucial geography. But when it comes time that if we take damage to a ship, we will not be able to replace it quickly.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy, retired Sagamore Institute. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.